Okay, so I'll get started. I'll get started to test the volume. Okay. Hello, my name is Catherine Thornton, and today I will be introducing the Wikidata for Digital Preservation portal. I would like to make a request before I start. The portal that I'm going to demo today is a prototype, and so it is up on a URL, but I would appreciate it if the URL could stay in this room because the prototype is not ready for the public. I'm showing you the most recent version of the portal. Well, that's fine. That's fine. thanks, Daniel. The point of sharing it here at WikidataCon is to get feedback from our community first, and then we'll do another round of work on the portal and then share it more widely. So this is collaborative work. I'd like to acknowledge Ewan Cochran, the manager of digital preservation at Yale University Library. This fits into his larger vision of how we are providing emulation as a service to the users of our communities. I'd like to thank Carl Wilson from the Open Preservation Foundation. He was the technical mentor that advised us on this project. And also Kenneth Seals-Nutt, who is an undergraduate computer science student at Yale University. And Kenneth actually built the app for the portal. So digital preservation is the activities that we do to ensure long-term access to digital content. And this involves everything from format migrations to making sure that we have redundant copies of all of our data so that we can minimize the chance of data loss. And we are also doing this so that we can provide access to legacy computing environments. So memory institutions such as libraries and archives and museums have a strong interest in digital preservation because we have a lot of digital content and we want to make sure that it remains available to our communities. And in these memory institutions, we have well-established workflows and we have already allocated budgets to making sure that we can preserve analog content, but that's not really the case for digital yet. Digital is still emerging, digital preservation is still emerging for memory institutions, and there are new challenges that memory institutions as a group haven't really figured out exactly how we're going to address. So we're still at the early stages of creating workflows and making sure that our institutions allocate enough budgetary resources so that we can undertake digital preservation activities. So now I'm speaking specifically about the context at Yale University Library. Just like many other libraries, we have a lot of software in our collections, but a lot of it is on CD-ROMs and floppy disks, and so they're at risk of deterioration and we could have data loss. If our library users come across a piece of software that we've already cataloged and made available in our collections, right now we can't actually guarantee that we can provide the relevant computing environment that they could use to interact with that software. And the software that we have already described, we've cataloged it according to the principles of MARC-based description, and MARC is not adequate for capturing some of the attributes of software and file formats that are crucial to digital preservation. So this work is all going toward the solution that we're pursuing for how to address digital preservation, specifically of software, at Yale University. So we are doing this through emulation as a service, which is a way where we can present pre-configured emulated computing environments that already have the legacy software loaded into them, and then users can just click on this and interact with the legacy software in the browser within the emulated computing environment. And in support of this, for emulation as a service to work, we have to have a catalog of pre-configured software environments, and we have to be able to communicate to our users what they can expect to find in these environments. So the approach that we are taking is to describe all of this as linked open data, and that I'm creating the linked open data through Wikidata. And so we do this by adding statements and populating the items for software and file formats, also proposing additional properties if we need to extend the data model to describe additional features. And so we're doing this within Wiki Project Informatics and with the Wikidata community. This is just an overview to show you where in our workflow Wikidata comes in. So we image our legacy software and then we ingest it into our digital preservation system. We use tools like Droid, Jove, and Siegfried to automatically characterize what file formats are in the image. And then there is a special client that is built into our implementation of emulation as a service. And that client goes out and queries Wikidata. An example of what it asks is if we have a set of file formats on a piece of, on a image that we have created, we need to know what pieces of software are known to be able to read those file formats. And so that is what it is asking Wikidata. And then based on the result there, we find an emulated computing environment that has that software in it, and we recommend that to the user for their exploration. So I put Daniel's favorite visualization in here to make him very happy. This is one visualization from the Wikidata query service of the readable file formats per software title. And there's actually a problem with this query. MATLAB shouldn't even be that big. But as Daniel and I were talking about earlier, this visualization gets us a lot of engagement for the project because many people are very annoyed when they see this, and it prompts them to helpfully contribute additional data to Wikidata. So what are we going to do with all of these URIs for resources in the domain of computing? We want to leverage this structured data within our digital preservation system. We're hoping that by doing this out in the open in Wikidata, making this data free and reusable, that perhaps this could be one piece of the larger software citation challenge. If we give people URIs for a particular version of a piece of software, then maybe that is getting them one step closer to being able to easily cite that so that Tom can then mine that fact out and we can all share in that knowledge. And we're using these URIs as the identifiers for the subparts of a pre-configured software environment. Okay, so why did we choose to make this portal? As Lydia mentioned this morning, there are now nearly 4,000 different properties in Wikidata. Many of the domain experts in digital preservation have given me the personal feedback that they do not want to spend a lot of time learning the different data models of Wikidata and actually adding data themselves, but they would love to reuse this once we have it all populated. And we wanted to create a streamlined, specialized tool that would support data curation for people who have this domain expertise so that they could quickly and easily add data, and they would actually be writing it to Wikidata even if they don't know that. Or, well, they know it, but even if it doesn't seem like it. Okay, so I'm going to quickly show you the demo. John, do you have an idea of how to get this other window over there? When I dragged it over, only my mouse went. You see my mouse? Oh, okay. Okay, well, I can't figure that out right now.
You have to duplicate the screen. It's already
duplicated. Okay, so this is going to be a very strange introduction because I'm not actually going to be able to show it to you, but maybe I can show it to you after if you're interested.
to the other computers.
Can you just close the...
Yes, minimize the window.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Okay. So this is a prototype. So I'm going to search for something here. And when you do a search in this system, this is the first pane that you will see. And this is a preview so that you can make sure that you can select the item that you actually want to edit. So I'm going to select the first one here. And then if you scroll down, you basically see a repackaged version of what you would see on the items page in Wikidata. And then the concept is that we present a subset of the properties that these are basically, it's a subset of the subset of properties that Wikiproject Informatics has come to agreement. These are the relevant properties for software. And this is a smaller version of that just for the purpose of this prototype. And so what you'll see over here is if the check mark is here, that means that that data is already there on the item. But if the plus sign is there, then that means, okay, there's an opportunity to add more data here. So then if you decide that you want to add something, you can go down to this contribute button. And then you get a different pane here where you can start adding statements. And you can select a property here. And then you can enter information here. So this is a property that has an item data type. And so if I don't know the QID, then I can search for something over here. This is not a real example. I'm just going to show this. So you can do a search for anything over there, and that way you can quickly get the QID, and then you can copy and paste over here. Whoa, that did not do what I thought it would. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. So basically, that is an overview. And then, okay. And so the purpose of this portal is that we want people who might want to contribute information, domain experts, to be able to quickly and easily add this information. The focus is on file formats, on software, and then we are also hoping to be able to describe the configured software environments themselves on Wikidata. That way, once we have a set of pre-configured environments, for at least for the subset of those that are composed of free software, we'll be able to share those widely with anyone else. For the pre-configured environments that have proprietary software, right now that is only, we are only able to share that within the Yale network due to the complications of licensing and copyright. But our hope is that this data curation portal will make it easier for people who don't want to learn everything about Wikidata to still be able to structure data within the shapes of the Wikidata data model. And then we have not yet connected this prototype, because it's still a prototype, to actual Wikidata. But our goal is to become an OAuth consumer so that then anybody who has a Wikidata account can use this portal and then write their changes to Wikidata. The technology that we use to create the portal is a Flask app, and then we made heavy use of the Wikidata integrator from the Sioux Lab. And so many of the GeneWiki people are here, and I'm sure that they would also be happy to talk to you more about the Wikidata integrator. Yes, there is a session tomorrow all about the Wikidata integrator. So we did this in conversation with several organizations working in digital preservation, the Software Preservation Foundation in the US, the Software Heritage Group in France, the Open Preservation Foundation in the UK, and also the National Library of France. We have quite a bit of future work that we need to do to take this from a prototype to an actual portal. So we have to apply for OAuth. We are very interested in developing a technique to designate certain accounts as trusted accounts so that organizations that may wish to someday use data from Wikidata in their production systems can be sure that the data that they're reusing is coming from a source that they're comfortable reusing data from. One of the big challenges that I've found in communicating about Wikidata to the larger digital preservation community is a lot of people are really worried that anybody can edit the data, so what do I do if I'm presenting this to a user and then all of a sudden the data changes? There's a lot of worries about that, so we want to be sure that we can at least give people some reasonable ability to determine where these statements came from. Right now, we do not support adding qualifiers or anything about references, but we hope to extend the portal to be able to do that. And although the prototype looks cool, we are aware of the lack of accessibility in the design choices in the portal interface right now, and so we need to work on that to make it more usable and accessible. So thank you very much, and I'd be happy to take questions. Yes.
Thank you. This is very, very interesting. Thank you very much for the talk. What do you see the role of Docker in all this, right? Because I know that right now one of the initiatives that there is currently going on is on describing Docker images semantically, so you can automatically know what's installed in one of these Docker images, which is kind of very similar to this kind of descriptions, right?
Well, thank you for telling me that, because I'm not even aware of that. When we looked at Docker, maybe it is out of date now, maybe we need to take a look again, but the last time that we looked at it, there was nothing about this ability to semantically describe the contents of a container. But the way I think about it is, if you have a container, you still have a complex digital object, and so you still need to be able to Absolutely. Indicate unambiguously what is in it. And so, I'm proposing using the URIs from Wikidata, but also Docker could reuse URIs from Wikidata, if once the data gets to a point where it's complete enough to be suitable for their purpose.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I've been working in similar things myself. We had like a project called Ontosoft, which was for creating a registry of software. And I would be keen to talking more about you about this, because one of the problems that we found was that users or scientists sometimes have a lot of trouble when they are describing their software, because sometimes they are referring to packages, sometimes they are referring to functions in these packages, then there is a whole software versioning issue. There are many, many, many problems related to this, right? I would be curious on knowing which properties are you using and why. I also know that there were some initiatives in the UK for describing software. We can follow up on this.
Okay, great.
Actually, I quite often update entries on Wikidata on software and so on, And every time I stumble upon a new software which different kind of statements, which I've never seen on any other piece of software which was added to Wikidata. So a good thing already which comes for me as a user of Wikidata out of is that you actually put thought into what is actually relevant to describe software, which statements should be in there to describe a certain to make it complete to a point where you can say, okay, we can now use it in other spots. You can still, if you would like to ever add other statements, but all this, that alone, I think is a big step already. Yeah? Now building upon it and let's say making it easier to actually work with that set, which is given now, is a very nice thing. And I'm really happy to that I have now something to look at and when I do my editing there. Yeah? Because it's really, I'm really surprised every time I look at a new software, it's totally different description there in Wikidata, even though it's not really very different software, which I'm trying to somehow update. Yeah? So it's really a cool thing. Yeah.
Thanks for that feedback. And I want to also acknowledge the work of the entire Wiki Project Informatics community, because, you know, I have been working with that project to figure out what are the properties that we care about. So it's collaborative. Daniel?
Given that we don't have much time, just three brief comments. First, I really commend you on building another one of those front ends for Wikidata. We need them to be community specific. We need them to have Wikidata as a back end. We need them to be not read only and things like that. And so thanks for that. Second, in terms of the Docker thing, I had roughly the same question, but there is one more thing that I saw recently, that is CodeOcean, for instance, they are assigning DOIs to certain Docker images. And so that is one step further already, but they run into the same problems. And the third thing is, while we're now talking about how to describe software, similar issues pop up when you try to describe data sets. And all of that would fall within the remit of Wikisite. So let's continue that conversation, try to come up with certain data models for packages, functions, all these kind of things, maybe also algorithms. Let's use the synergies between the different wiki projects that exist.
Thank you. Yeah.
One thing I also do is I update some software entries on the free software directory, which is run by the Free Software Foundation. Is there some connection there? Because you didn't really mention them as a contact partner in your slides. So
yeah.
Is there?
Thanks for that.
There should be probably a connection, yeah.
Thanks for that question. Yeah, there is an external ID for the name in the Free Software Foundation directory. And so if you query that property, that external ID property, then you can find out what entry it is in the Free Software Foundation directory. I have a lot of interest in communicating more with the Free Software Foundation, specifically about that directory. And I submitted a talk to the last Libre Planet about let's use free software to describe free software. Unfortunately, it was not accepted, but I revamped it for this year's Libre Planet with a collaborator from Software Heritage. So maybe the allure of Software Heritage plus Wikidata will be enough for Libre Planet 2018.
That would be cool. Yeah. Well, I must admit this project, this directory seems to be only run as a side project with only a couple of hours allocated to it. And, but on the other hand, we are using Semantic Media Wiki, so it should be pretty easy to get structured data out of this directory.
I totally agree.
Which is in general still in a pretty poor state, I would say, when it comes to the actuality of data. Yeah. There are only a few clowns like me who actually care about, but that's a different story. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, and so now we're going to do another one with Finn. Nonstop. And this goes right into Daniel's point about data sets. Okay, so to continue talking about describing software, this is a project that basically started as a conversation between me and Finn at Wikisite in Vienna. And so I'm sure many people in the room are familiar with questions of scientific reproducibility. And knowing what software was used in a piece of research is crucial to being able to reproduce that work. So right now, we often are used to a description of a scientific article. And sometimes you'll see a scientific article, and then there's also a link to an external data set that was used in the research. Sometimes there's a scientific article, an external data set, and we also need to know about the software. Sometimes there's a scientific article, external data set, software, and then metadata to describe the entire runtime environment. And sometimes all of this, and then in this emulation context I was just talking about, we need to also know about that configured software environment. So there are many layers of complexity here. But more and more people are really advocating that we need to have a better way to cite software. So Stodden 2013 found that code disclosure policies follow on the heels of data disclosure policies. And so perhaps this is something that even more and more journals will be requiring. Funders, publishers, scholars, librarians, and other information professionals need ways to describe software that's used in research, just like they need to be able to describe scientific publications. And I would like to see Wikidata be play a role in that. And connecting evidence, here data sets, to claims stated within the publications allows for scientific analysis to be more transparent. So where are we right now in terms of Wikidata? You know, scientific articles are being, you could even say, redescribed in Wikidata in addition to the other places that they're being described. And we have a way, at least, to explore connecting some of these things in Wikidata. Some organizations are working on making models for what software citation might look like. So you can take a look. These are all links to the Force 11 Software Citation Working Group. There's a link here to a paper coming out of the astronomy community talking about their specific challenges with software and data sets in their scholarly communication. And then the third one is a link to a paper from the software engineering community talking about what they need for software citation. But all of those points, that everybody needs the ability to disambiguate between different pieces of software. And we all need unique identifiers to be able to talk about this. So here enters Wikidata. This is a screenshot from Reasonator, just a different view of the data. And now you can see some scientific articles are described, and the property uses here is used to indicate what piece of software was used in this study. And so Finn and I were talking about, could we make a little proof of concept of what if we just looked at PubMed and pulled out some subset of data from PubMed and saw how often a scientific article mentions what software is used, even if it's not in the references list and it's not a traditional citation of either the paper that documents that software or the piece of software itself. So let's look at a couple queries here. I just can't see it. Okay. Okay. Okay, so if we, Okay, if we put it over so we can click the run button, this query is for scientific articles that already have this uses property to indicate what software is used. And this is basically just, you know, this is a very small subset of what is in PubMed. This is just kind of exploratory research to see, would it make sense to make these connections in Wikidata, and what are some of the choices that we have in looking at this? And this one is a scientific article. Oh. Yeah. Okay. So this is a count by the number of scientific articles that currently say they use this piece of software. And so these wonderful visualizations built into the Wikidata query service have been a really nice way to show other parts of the community what our idea is and getting some feedback. Okay, and so I think most people in the room were here when I was just talking, but one of the reasons that we are trying to do this and add this software at Yale University Library is so that we can create descriptions of the pre-configured emulated computing environments, and we need to be able to describe software to do that. Okay. And then this is another query that shows scientific articles that we've already described what data set is mentioned in the research. And so this is just a small number of scientific articles, but maybe we can start conversations here today about what people think of this approach and other ideas. And now I'm going to turn it over to Finn so that Finn can show what he built in Scolia to address software.
So I'll go over to Scolia. Oh. The O is not working. Tools, yes. Okay. It's already there. This is showing an example with Stata that Catherine has typed in to the general purpose statistic program. And this is a query on the 2283 ones, where just listing the scientific articles that are tagged with this particular property. And so we can also make these co-used lists. So in this case here, it's mostly just different variations of the software, software versions. And further down here, we have some topics used by works using the software. So we're querying on the main theme and on this users property. This is not so much label here, but maybe we can go over to a program called AIR. I can't remember whether it's over here. Oops. This is the wrong way. This is the main view. SBM is here. That's this famous neuroimaging, functional neuroimaging program. Here again, the different versions, and AIR, which is another program used in functional neuroimaging. So it's, you see here that the few scientific articles we have are often used together with the SBM program and other AFNI. And here are also abused or used this particular property 2283 to note that for this particular study, this article, the positron emission tomography was used there. So it would also be nice to know whether this is something we should continue with or stop doing here. And you can see the topics of works using this kind of software. And this is mostly brain research studies, prefrontal cortex, personality, working memory, and image registration. It's an image registration program. Further down here, the authors, this is particularly strong on Danish authors, Ian Law and Ole Poulsen, are both the Danish researchers in brain imaging. So these most of these data here from the AIR program is coming from a very old database that they did in XML, and we're basically retyping into Wikidata. So we can go over, and you can also see a citation from the specific paper here: activation in ipsilateral posterior parietal cortex during tool use, a PET study. Within that particular paper, it says it was there's a text called was used to anatomically normalize each subject's MRI using a fine transform of the, and then the word of the it's called in the long title of the program is called Automated Image Registration Woods et al.
You have, oh, sorry. In the first one and one, two, three, four, the fifth one are using different versions of the software, right? So you're referring to.
So where do you
Because it's AIR software Wood et al. 1992, and then it's Wood et al. 1998. I guess that it's referring exactly to the same version of the software, right?
So you see, Catherine was tagging it up as with the different Stata versions here. Here in this case, sometimes it's not really possible to see. well, you can go back and try to read this here and probably infer what kind of version it's using. But then but it's not readily available what version of AIR was used in this particular paper.
Yeah.
Sort of, it might be implicit, and the same thing, for example, with the SBM. There, it just says with SBM.
And I wonder as well, because sometimes people say, "Yeah, I did this using MATLAB," but there are a million packages in MATLAB that you might be using, right? Or million functions that may have been used. So, I mean, the granularity, if we are talking about reproducibility, of course, then the granularity of these things is very, very important, because I mean, I was in a workshop the other day, and they were saying that even the default parameters from one version to the other could have changed and would bring you totally different result values. Yeah. So you would be calling the same method from the same software package, and the result would be different.
And right? Although in machine learning, you need to use the seed. Tell which seed was used to generate some random initialization of statistical parameters models.
So thank you, Daniel, for pointing out, yeah, we have a lot more work to do, but this is basically to say, could this work in Wikidata? And also, we need to push software citations so that people know what the advantage is if they are more precise when they're citing in the future. We have to grow that culture as researchers. Daniel?
So the question as to whether this would work in Wikidata, basically the same comment I made about the funding information earlier, of the quotes, works as a demo. It probably doesn't work at scale. We are likely to
because
have to delete it
because
of copyright. Yeah. But I think the way around this is to actually annotations. You go to the text, you annotate it using hypothesis, and then you put in the link to that particular annotation, you're fine.
And I suppose, I don't know with the CC BY objects whether you can get away with that, even that.
Well, and actually, I think it has also a lot to do with how researchers get back the credit from their software, right? Because at the moment, you cannot cite software the same way you cite data. Well, not even data, the same way you cite papers, right? But if you can start convincing people that the software has the right value and that they should cite software the same way they should cite other people's work or papers, then I think that this is where people will start to be concerned about, hey, well, if I want others to cite this thing that I'm doing, maybe I should do the same thing for other people as well, right? It's about, I think, creating awareness of all this situation.
Have you tried making a dictionary for WikiFactMine with the software names?
No, we haven't. We haven't tried to work together with these guys.
Sorry, what was the question? So,
making a dictionary with these names, SBM, I suppose, or even AIR is probably a bad name to search for in WeFactMine, I could imagine. Perhaps with automated image registration, you could presumably find something interesting there.
Sorry, yeah,
Woods et al.
If you know that Woods et al. Is talking about a software, and you have the citation graph in Wikidata, maybe then you could infer if the paper is citing that software paper, it's probably using that software.
Yeah. So imagine if we had a lot of these here, we could perhaps train some kind of algorithm, machine learning algorithm to extract them to, so we could put them into some kind of gamification software.
I mean, I think this is super useful also for from the perspective of people developing software, because this way you know who is actually using your stuff, and once you start to at least notice this, you can also, I don't know, put it in proposals or say something like, hey, I mean, 1,000 people are using my thing, and if you give me funding, then I can continue doing it. So another thing that I thought it was very, very useful is to be able to compare, right? Because, well, this is maybe more related to the previous work that we saw, but whenever you are going, in terms of reuse, whenever you are going to whether you're deciding between two packages of software, you want to know how well, what coverage does one versus the other, like, okay, what is the infrastructure that I need for one? What is the community development? How is this being developed or not? So maybe not only expanding on this, but also focusing on the comparison part could be very, very interesting.
Yeah. So one thing that you could make, it was a sort of a timeline of how much it's used, the different version of SBM and so on. But I don't think we have that many article labeled or tagged with them, so it's will show anything, so it's too relevant. Are you going to say something? Or?
I think that's it.
Okay, yeah. Yes, yeah, thank you.